Our first speaker for today will be our brother Ray Charlton, and it's been mentioned he's from Australia. And the title of his discourse is Edify One Another. Brother Ray.
Good morning, brethren. I bring to you especially the love and greetings of the Australian brethren. Many of them have travelled here. Many of them know you, either personally or via the internet, and they ask me to bring their love. I've also been asked to bring the special love of the 30 consecrated brethren in Manila. I spoke to Brother Agrippino just a few days ago, and he asked for his love to be brought along with the brethren to all of you here. In a few days, thanks to the brothers' works here and the sisters' works, they will have all of this convention and will be able to watch it in their own country and share the blessings, the wonderful blessings that we have had. Sue and I have been very privileged that the Lord has directed our paths. And the hymn that we've just sung does tell us that we are under his wings as long as we are willing to accept his guidance. I bring you the love especially of our daughter, Ruth, and also our son, David, who some of you will have known over the years. They send their love as well. We've had the great privilege over the last few months of meeting many brethren from the north to the south, across to through Canada, and east to west across America. And the wonderful part is that we share so much in common. We do have problems with travel agents that have great difficulty in understanding that you can travel the world and not book a motel and not sleep out in the street. They really struggle with that concept. Or that you don't have to worry that you're going to arrive at 3 a.m. in the morning. Someone will greet you. It is something that the world has no concept of, which each of us here at some time have experienced. Now, we do have a couple of problems. I have been told that some are having difficulties understanding my accent. Brother Bob Gorecki has volunteered to translate it if it is a difficulty. The only difficulty I have is, as we've travelled America and Canada, your accents are so different wherever we go. So, you know, but what I have done to help you is I've put a lot of the scriptures will come up on the screen, and that should assist. We hope. That's if technology works. Yes, we have achieved. All right. Now, one of the interesting things is my talk came from being corrected, and I'm sorry, Brother Russ, I'm going to have to correct you too, where we were told that the verse does not say edify one another. It's interesting. We all use that term. And yet, we're told it is edify another. And so that got me thinking. Let's have a look at the verse. Let us pursue things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Romans in approximately AD 57. About 3 years before he was delivered to Rome as a prisoner with the right to appeal to Caesar. The Apostle Paul in chapter 13 had been directing the church members in their conduct towards one another in civil matters, prescribing the sacred laws of justice, peace and order, which were to be observed by the members of the little flock, These were not things for the world. These were things aimed at us, those aspiring to become members of the little flock. In chapter 14, and part of the following chapter, Paul now turns our attention to our conduct towards one another in sacred things pertaining more immediately to conscience and religious observance. Particularly, he gives rules on how to manage our differences and our anxieties over what should be minor matters, but which can bring about disharmony and may result in the stumbling of a new brother or sister. Many of the problems that occurred in the church came because the Church of Rome was composed of both Jews and Gentiles, although the Jewish converts would have been in the majority. There were naturally many amongst them that had unsettling questions in regard to the transition from Judaism to Christianity, which the Apostle Paul endeavours to answer. Paul often reminded the Jews of his own Jewish heritage and how the Lord had directed him to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul realized that for the church to grow and to be edified, they needed to settle the many questions that were causing discontent, and that they were to pursue the things which made for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The word edify, according to the Australian Dictionary, has the meaning to instruct in such a way as to improve, enlighten, and uplift morally, spiritually, and intellectually. Some of the synonyms that we use for this word are to instruct, to improve, to educate, and these give us a clue to the meaning that Paul had when writing to the Romans. However, the original meaning and use of the word edify brings an even greater clarification to Paul's message. The original use of the word was in relation to the literal building of an edifice, and thus the usage in modern English loses the force and the significance of the meaning of this word. What a wonderful meaning the word has when we think of the members of the church collectively forming a temple, succeeding the literal one on Mount Zion, a temple in which the Lord dwells with us, and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. As we're told in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? It is interesting that this subject's been brought up several times already, this convention. Let us take a closer look at Paul's words, starting with his first admonition, pursue the things which make for peace. Or as the Amplified Bible translates the verse, let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony. Many desire peace and talk loudly about the need for peace. But do not follow up this call for peace with actions to bring it about. Some, through their actions, cause disharmony, the very opposite of peace. Christ, addressing his disciples, reminds them, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." We must remember that not all followers of Christ are going to have the same level of understanding or maturity, the same talents or the same experiences. But all are travelling the same narrow way. And so we have a duty not to stumble them. Will this peace and harmony always be attained? From Paul's words in Romans 12 and 18, it appears this will not be the case. However, we are told, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Here, the burden of success lies with us, not with the other person. To see how to achieve this goal, let us turn to Philippians, where Paul asks them to fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, and let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. However, we must study to develop the character that esteems others better than ourselves. And this can only be done by putting aside selfish ambitions and self-importance in our dealing with other brethren. Does this mean that we have to water down the truth or to accept behaviour that is not in accordance with the Word of God? No. But it is the manner in which we handle the differences which is critical. Some of the matters that we may disagree on are not critical to making our calling and election sure. And Paul discusses some of these in the verses that precede the verse under consideration. He looked at esteeming of one day holier than another and saw that this was not critical to our development. He also looked into the eating and abstaining from meats and realised this was not critical to our development and so therefore should not be a reason for disputation between brethren. However, on other matters, Paul did see the need to correct his brethren, even the Apostle Paul. And we read in Galatians 2:11-13, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I, Paul, withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." In the next verse, we read why Paul spoke these words. Because they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. Some of the believers were trying to reintroduce the law, thus causing some of the Gentiles and some of the Jews to stumble. Peter's very actions, not his words, were causing the problem. In Romans, Paul continues that it is not only peace that we must pursue, but also the things by which one may edify another. As we have already seen, it is to build up another brother or sister. Paul sets out some of the people that Christ, our Lord and Master, knew would be required to bring this about. Let us turn to Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Paul saw that there were two aspects to this teaching. The first, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The second was the edifying of the body of Christ. Let us look at this first aspect, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The pursuing of this part of our learning is so that we can be ambassadors for Christ in the world, giving forth the great message of hope that the human race so desperately needs. This involves the proclaiming of the good news of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We also have the privilege of proclaiming that this good news is not only for those who believe now, but also to inform the world that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19, that all may have an opportunity to come to know and to experience God's love. What a wonderful privilege we have. The second aspect has to do with working with the brethren. The purpose is the edifying of the body of Christ. This will only be accomplished when we can come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This can only come as we grow in knowledge and development of our character, so that we are no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, so that we are able to speak the truth in love, growing up in all aspects of the new creature until we are fashioned like our head, Christ. As brethren, we have a duty to edify another. However, before we can do this, we have to follow the example of the believers at Berea, who received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We have to be willing to be taught by those with more experience and greater knowledge. We then have to study, as Timothy was told, to study and be eager and do your uttermost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analysing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. As we can see, we have been instructed not to blindly follow the teachings of others, but to prove their words by studying the word of God. However, what tools do we have for the edification of others? Let us turn to Acts 20 and 32. So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. What wonderful words Paul uses here. I commend you to God. Paul realized that all of his work with the brethren came to naught without the assistance from above. As we read, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It is only when we accept that our Heavenly Father is the one who gives the increase or the understanding to our words that it is possible for us to edify another. The next tool is the wise use of the word of God, the words of his grace, or the gospel of the grace of God. Edifies or builds up the listener if we expound to them the proofs of God's goodwill to mankind, and especially to those who believe now. The gospel shows his grace towards us, and the effect of this on our lives tends to make us gracious and understanding in our dealings with others. Paul made it the business of his life to testify this, and desired not to live a day longer than that he might be instrumental in spreading the knowledge of the Saviour, and the power of this gospel. And this should also be our goal. When it comes to knowledge, however, we are given a warning by Paul in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1. Yet mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves loftily and be proud. But love, affection, and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. Knowledge without the right heart condition can lead us astray. It can puff us up, and as a result, does not benefit the people that we are trying to assist. The Lord's object in providing us with knowledge is that we might grow in grace. We must have the knowledge of God's plan so as to have the basis for our love. Love, therefore, is an outgrowing of our knowledge. This process is one of continual self-examination. That's right, self-examination, not examining others. Constant studying and practicing the fruits of the Spirit that are granted to us by our Heavenly Father. Jude reminds us in Jude 20-21, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Here we are given the encouragement to pray, to keep the lines of communication open between us and God through Christ. What a privilege we have of being able to ask for guidance and assistance from above. The fruits of the Spirit, we learn some very important lessons on how to edify another. The Apostle Paul covers this point beautifully in 1 Corinthians 10:23-24, when he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." The freedom or liberty that we have in Christ must not be abused or used in any way to stumble another. We must not seek things just for our own benefit, but consider how they will benefit other brethren, as well as to do things to the glory of God. The journey on the narrow way is often a lonely one. There's few travellers on it compared to the world. Only the little flock, who are often far apart, not able to meet as often as they would like. We understand that we are not alone in the sense that we always have access to our Father and our Lord and Master Christ, and that we have been given the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, to assist us along the way with our understanding of the Word of God. However, we still crave the company of other like-minded people. And Paul reminded the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to comfort each other and edify one another. We are admonished to comfort each other, following the example of Christ, who Paul describes as a sympathetic high priest who was tempted and tried by the Heavenly Father in all ways. This gives us the encouragement that he has successfully finished the walk, leaving with us the examples on how to cope with the obstacles we find on the way. Some of our greatest assets are to be a listening ear, a kind heart, and a kind word, so as not to judge or stumble another that is journeying with us. How uplifted we feel when we find that others are sharing our journey, offering us encouragement, helping lift us up when we are down, sharing our excitement as we find a new gem, or come to appreciate even more a scripture we have studied years before. Oh, how this builds us up and gives us a new spring in our step as we journey the narrow way. Listening to the experience of those who have journeyed long can uplift us, just as the enthusiasm and excitement of a new or younger believer as they start out on their journey. The second admonition is to edify another, or to build up another. To achieve this, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 and 16, that is Christ as the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Without Christ in our lives and the effect that this should have on our character, we will not have the fruits necessary to edify another. Our Lord explains this very simply to his disciples when he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." We see that the whole purpose of the edifying of another member of the body of Christ is so that in the end all members will be knitted together to form one united body. For this to come about, every member has to do their share to affect the end result, the growth of the whole body through love. As members of this body on this side of the veil, with the weaknesses of the flesh, we can occasionally consider that some are not pulling their weight, not doing as much as we are. Sometimes we may even wonder why this one or that one has been chosen to travel on the narrow way. It really does us good to take a hard look in the mirror and wonder why we have been invited. Paul answers this question in 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." The apostle also covers this subject in great detail in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. The first aspect is the gifts from the Holy Spirit, and how, although these differ for each member of the church, they are all from the one source. They are all from above. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:4-6, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service." Paul continues, "The Spirit's presence is shown in some ways in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a full measure of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, which to another he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the work to work miracles, another the gift of speaking God's message, and yet to another the ability to tell the difference between the gifts which come from the Spirit and thus do not, than those that do not. Do we then have the right to question why we are all so different in talents and abilities when we are told that the Spirit gives as he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person? Here we also see the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. Only our head, Christ, has all the gifts. John the Baptist, speaking to his disciples about Jesus, stated, "The one whom God has sent speaks God's words, because God gave him the fullness of his Spirit." His followers have only been given a measure of the Spirit, resulting in the need for us to rely on other brethren for assistance, so no one can boast before God. Paul then goes on to discuss the importance of each individual member to the completion of the body, the Church of Christ. Christ is like a single body which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. He then goes on to explain that we cannot have the attitude to another brother or sister that I don't need you. As he goes on to explain, on the contrary, we cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and those parts that we think aren't worthy, very much as the ones which we treat with greater care. While the parts of the body which do not look very nice are treated with special modesty, which the more beautiful parts do not need. God himself has put the body together in such a way as to give greater honour to those parts that need it. And so there is no division in the body, but all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. If one is praised, all the other parts share in its happiness. Paul then spends the next chapter explaining that the greatest gift that we have been given is love. We have had the great privilege of feeling the love of our Heavenly Father and his Son, who loved us while we were yet sinners, and who made the greatest sacrifice that a father and his son could make of their love, the giving of Christ's life and the acceptance of that sacrifice by our Heavenly Father to set us free from the sentence of death. In conclusion, Paul gives us a beautiful analogy to finish his lesson in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. What we say now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. We certainly can echo these words as we realise the great limitations that we have in being able to judge our fellow travellers on the narrow way. Paul then reminds us that we are travelling on our Christian walk, that all the lessons that we have learnt, these three will remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Let us abide in the love of God and work to edify another as we travel the narrow way. And may God add his blessing. Thank you.